The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yeah, all the politicos are really getting giddy now. One more week before they're off on their summer recess. Of course, the committees will still be sitting. It's a pleasure to welcome to the studio Robert Troy, representing Fianna Fáil, TD from Mullingar, Longford, Westmeath, Minister of State with the Department of Finance, with special responsibility for financial services, credit unions and insurance. Gary Gannon, here in the heart of Dublin, representing the Social Democrats, and their frontbench spokesperson on justice, home affairs and migration in Dublin Central. And without a constituency, but very welcome, political correspondent of the Journal, Jane Matthews. All right, well, during the week, I spoke to Harry about the presidency, and was the cat put amongst the pigeons in relation to Mary Lou?
I don't know if they've really punted for a Sinn Féin candidate as such. They may be willing to back a candidate that has kind of strong Sinn Féin identity. And I think you mentioned Frances Black. Frances Black would be a very suitable candidate for Sinn Féin. You know, her family come originally from Rathlin Island in the north. She has been very strong in relation to the Occupied Territories Bill. So she would be a good fit. But the statement from the ambiguous statement from Mary Lou MacDonald on Monday certainly set a cat amongst the pigeons and raised the possibility that she might be a candidate. And Michelle O'Neill, as you've said, has not ruled herself out entirely.
So we have news this morning that the Social Democrats have decided to back independent TD from Galway West, Catherine Connolly, for president. The party's national executive met last night and unanimously voted to put its support behind the Galway TD. The party has 11 votes, or 12, I should say, if the full, and one senator. Owen Hayes is another question there, but they need 20 is the question. So, Gary, that's straight into your barrow. The thing that immediately struck me about that is, oh yeah, so much for left unity. Sinn Féin going solo with their own thing. They've had an internal process and they're looking at Michelle or Mary Lou or John Finucane. Labour have not co-signed up to this. So it's the same old story, the left are split.
I've always said there's no unhomogenous left, but I don't know if the left are split or not. We've been part of an interesting process that's gone on the last couple of months in the room looking for a unified left candidate. I mean, the candidate for me that has always stood out is Catherine Connolly. I think for the last 6 years that I've looked at her in the Dáil, I think she embodies everything I feel is decent and really good about this country. She scrutinises legislation better than anybody. She's a Gaelgor. I think she speaks to lots of different parts of Ireland. So I'm sure the other parties are going through their processes. It might have taken longer than ours. Ours finished last night and we just came out and said that.
Okay, absolutely. And good luck to Catherine and good luck to the Sock Dems. But my point is this, that it's not accompanied by any other party saying we're on the same page.
Well, I can't control that. I mean, I'd encourage every other party of the left to get behind Catherine's candidacy because, I mean, we're still very much open for the idea of left unity. So left unity, Catherine Connolly is not a social democrat. She's not a member of our party. We're supporting her as an independent candidate. We'd encourage Labour, we'd encourage Sinn Féin to go behind and do the same thing because Catherine is a really excellent candidate.
Jane Matthews, are you reading the same to me that this tells me, by this announcement by the Sock Dems, that there isn't a unified left candidate?
Not exactly. I don't know. Well, at the moment, I'd agree with you, yeah. And I think there's still a huge question mark over it. I mean, they had that meeting, the leaders had the meeting on Wednesday night, and we were kind of hanging around going, what's coming out of this? And we thought maybe at that point we'd hear Catherine Connolly's name or we'd hear that Sinn Féin had decided to go their own way.
And what did you hear?
Nothing confirmed yet is what we were told. You know, no news out at the meeting, but then obviously 2 days later we have Catherine Connolly's name. Sinn Féin are still involved in that internal process. I think that's why we saw Mary Lou MacDonald come out with that ambiguous statement on Monday. It seemed to be that was kind of part of the message from the membership that Mary Lou MacDonald's name is a name that they'd like to see out there. So I don't know if she's...
So what do you think Sinn Féin will do?
I wouldn't be surprised at this point if they went their own way and ran their own candidate.
Yeah, but who? I think that's a no-brainer.
That's the question. I mean, Michelle O'Neill, I think, would be a viable option for them. Mary Lou MacDonald, I'd be really surprised if it was her at this stage. I mean, earlier in the year, you know, there was talk, would Mary Lou MacDonald step out of politics, you know, because of the not brilliant election that they had? This would have been a nice off-ramp for her, I think, you know. It would have opened up the possibility to people saying, well, maybe we don't want Sinn Féin in government, but could we see a Sinn Féin presidency? Perhaps. I don't know if that's realistic.
But why are you... Like, to me, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I think that maybe It would suit everyone if she went for the park. It might suit the government. It might suit a situation whereby she might feel she might never be Taoiseach, and this is a winnable war against Mairead McGuinness. Looks like the front runner, the Fine Gael candidate, Fianna Fáil, will come to in a second, all over the place. I mean, this is perhaps, and like she's, like people might feel, as you just said, how will the government have majority 20? They're going to be 5 years in power. Give someone else a chance, no?
I agree. And I think it could suit everyone except for Mary Lou McDonald. You know, if she runs for the presidency,
but if she gets elected, that's
it. If she gets elected, but it's a big if, you know. And then if she doesn't, does she go back to being leader of the party in the Dáil? I don't know if that would be something that she would be happy to do.
So I've tried hard, Robert. I've spoken to different people and I get mixed messages from Fianna Fáil insofar as, oh, it's going to cost us $500,000. We didn't run a candidate since 2011 and the party got on fine. There is none of our front benchers who are looking for this. There's quite a few people like Barry Andrews have said no to this. You maybe feel that someone like Mary Hanafin mightn't win. Is Fianna Fáil going to contest this, and if so, with whom?
Well, firstly to say we haven't contested it since 1997. So a longer time altogether, yeah. And I suppose in recognition that this isn't an office of any one particular party. It's very much an independent office. And I suppose maybe to start off by wishing the only declared candidate well, Catherine Connolly. I know her personally, having served with her in the Dáil for the last number of years. She's a very credible candidate, and I wish her well genuinely in her endeavours. From my party's perspective, we have always said that we would take a decision, number one, if we're going to contest the election and how we're going to select our candidate before the end of the summer. It's still very much midsummer at this stage. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of time and further, I suppose, research to do internally in terms of what exactly we're going
Robert
to do.
But if and said, what do you think we should do? What would you say?
Well, I think there are people looking to run for the party. There are people, candidates interested in running. I think the real question is, can we win the race? You know, there's no point entering a race just for the sake of entering it. That's my own personal opinion. We saw back in 2011, Fine Gael were after winning a resounding general election in February of that year, and Gay Mitchell ended up coming back with 7%. So just because a party is doing well at a national level, leading a government, we're the largest party in the Dáil, the largest party in the Shannon.
So it's the not
largest,
the end of the world if you don't contest.
The largest party at local government. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the party that holds the office of president. I think what we should be looking to is who can represent Ireland in that office well, who will bring a sense of independence to that office.
Well, how would you feel about Mairead McGuinness? Because Sean Kelly's pulled out, Fine Gael have open nominations, they close on Wednesday evening, and it's almost a slam dunk that she will be the candidate. Would you not think in kind of brotherly love or sisterly love with Fine Gael and government unity, you might get in behind her?
Would
you choke on that?
Ivan, I don't think we're going to decide who I'm going to vote for in the presidential election before we even know who the entire field is. I genuinely question the wisdom for Catherine of coming out so early in this, because the month of August.
Well, Mary Robinson came out much earlier.
The month of August is silly season. It is a vicious campaign. And I think she's going to open herself to a whole pile of scrutiny for the month of August to fill papers.
We're not going to get any further on that. Let's go to the issue. James Brown brought to Cabinet on Tuesday revised specifications in the building of apartments.
From a three-bedroom apartment, it looks like 14 square metres being taken off. And just so people can visualise that, that's about the size of a double bedroom coming out of a three-bedroom apartment. Down to a studio, which would be dropped down to 32 square metres, it's suggested. So 32 square metres is smaller than most hotel bedrooms that people would know. You know, a double hotel bedroom and bathroom, that kind of size.
That was Professor Orla Hegarty speaking to me earlier in the week. Gary, this is an issue in your constituency. These smaller apartments for younger workers, maybe getting their first job, not going to be their permanent home. But, and then there's a view that these are dog boxes. What's your view?
They're dog boxes.
Okay.
So what we're talking about here is what we want to build homes. We want to build homes that people can live in. Look, in my constituency in Dublin Central, we absolutely have lots of smaller. We have student accommodation that's popped up all over the place. What we don't have enough of is homes that people can buy, people can live in. And I don't think this particular scheme is going to do anything to achieve that. I mean, we've already seen the architects saying what stops people now going back to the drawing board. That's not going to get people building. What we actually need is what's, for example, Rory Hearn done the other day, where he actually brought the investment saving scheme out to Homes for Ireland, which can actually release billions in terms of money that we can actually get building for actual homes for people, not only in my constituency, but the length and breadth of the country. I think this, the minister himself didn't do any consultation, kind of came a little bit out of the blue on it, didn't look overly confident when he was talking about it. And I don't think this is going to do anything in terms of making a difference.
Well, the biggest builder of apartments in this country is Cairn Homes.
Yes.
And Michael Stanley said this will significantly reduce costs.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's talking about. And he has lobbied for this. He's also, the minister said, you won't have to put in a fresh planning application to this. You can make an adjustment to the design. And so the way it was put to me is if you're going to buy a car, you can buy a Mini or a Skoda or a Rolls Royce. For apartments with the present spec, it's so rigid, you can only buy a BMW.
So if buying a car is very different to buying a home. If you want to buy a home, I mean, you want to buy somewhere where you have a little bit of space. You don't want to buy somewhere that you're living in a hotel effectively for the rest of it, wherever you're going to be there. Homes have to have requirements. They lower enough standards. And we've done lowered standards previously, right back to Alan Kelly's time in government. We've lowered standards. It hasn't done anything in terms of improved the actual output. We still had a housing crisis after that. What we want to see is homes that people can live in, people can afford, and people can actually start to rear a family. That's what we don't have enough of in my constituency. I don't think this is going to do anything to improve that situation. And while I appreciate what the fellow from Cairn said, I mean, we've also seen other people out there from the architecture side say, of course, this is going to actually mean that we just go back to the drawing board. Plans that were already in the process, people are just going to go back and start again, and that's going to delay things further. And the minister wasn't able to answer that.
Robert Roy, dog boxes, is this the future?
No, look, I think you have to acknowledge that we do need the right housing mix. There's not everybody that wants to live in a three-bedroom semi-detached house or in a larger apartment. You have to recognise that we have a young, vibrant population living in urban Ireland where predominantly apartments are built. Young people want an opportunity to be able to get into and buy their first home. It doesn't have to be their forever home.
No.
It's an opportunity for smaller apartments. And we're not talking about compromising fire standards or anything like that. It's about reducing sizes, making apartments more affordable. By making apartments more affordable, more will be built and giving people an opportunity to get on the property ladder into their first home. It doesn't have to be the forever home, but it's an opportunity to stop paying rent, paying down a mortgage, and you can move up to a bigger house at a later stage. I certainly aren't living in the first house I bought.
The minister was asked the other day about the evidence basis for actually saying this is going to reduce costs. The minister wasn't able to give the evidence base for how this was going to reduce costs. I mean, that for me is the problem here. If the minister's coming out with all these plans, every once in a while he steps out, says something, isn't able to back it up. If there's no evidence base, all this is conjecture. I appreciate the fact that Cairn's Homes are going to say that they want to increase their profits. That's absolutely fine.
I can be specific that he said, look, the smaller balcony sizes and the dual aspect of not having windows in two walls would make a reduced saving on them.
Yeah, but there was no evidence there from the minister. So Cairn's Homes are absolutely going to say that that's their job. They want to increase profit. I have no issue with that. What I have an issue with is this is not actually going to improve the situation for people across the country. And if it is, the minister will be able to come out and give us the evidence basis back up from it. Cairn's Homes is going to do what Cairn's Homes need to do, which is to protect their investors and increase their profits. That's fine. I haven't seen any evidence this is going to increase the capacity for people to have homes in the city or the length and breadth of Ireland. Rory Hearn has been asking a number of questions this week to the minister, which he wasn't able to answer. And that is the minister's job. It's not to support just what Cairn's Homes tell him. It's actually to give us an evidence basis of how this will improve the situation for the country.
What we're saying is we're putting more units in the same footprint, so we're not going to get... It's obviously it's going to become cheaper.
That's serious.
And the largest provider of apartment builders in the country is confirming that he will be able to provide more apartments at a reduced cost.
It's not obvious though that will reduce the cost for home buyers or for tenants at all. We've seen no evidence for that whatsoever. And I think as well, I find it very interesting that we're at this point now, just a few short years after the pandemic, when it was such a big talking point, when everyone was stuck in their homes, stuck in their apartments, you had no access to outdoor space. You know, we had that conversation. And I find it kind of crazy now that we're here at this point a couple of years later, where we're talking about rolling back on the guidelines now and the size and the spec. And I think obviously there is a need there. You know, I talk to my peers and people in their 30s and people in their 40s who are still renting, who would love to own their own home. And they're saying, actually, well, you know, I'd rather be in a studio apartment than in a a house share maybe. I've done a house share for years. So there is a need for more studio apartments, I think, but they have to be affordable. No one wants to be paying $2,000 a month for a studio apartment. And I just think the point as well, the fact that there was no consultation with tenant organisations, there was no consultation with people who will be living in these type of accommodation. And we were told that this was because this is such a commercially sensitive decision. And I just don't think that washes at this point.
I'm glad you're saying, Jane, you know, talking to your peers, people will acknowledge there is a need for these type of apartments. The critical thing in any economic situation is supply and demand. The reason house prices have gone so high is because we're not meeting our demand. We need to increase supply, and this is going to increase supply along with many of the other measures that Minister Brown has introduced since he's been a minister in just 5 months.
I would make the point, though, under these new guidelines, in theory, you could have an apartment block now that's all just studio apartments, you know, and I don't think that's what's needed. That's going to have a knock-on impact on communities. You know, you're talking about people being in more transient positions. Now, I don't think anyone's going to want to buy a studio apartment in one of these complexes that they're going to live in for years and years, with the hope the market stays inside and they'll be eventually able to sell it and upsize.
So our listeners have two texts. Hey, Ivan, I hate to point out the obvious, but up to the 2000s, up to the millennium, we had bedside flats, apartments, houses. We had no housing crisis because all incomes were considered regarding affordability. And someone else says, we do need smaller properties to rent. I start in a bedside at 19. Affordable and practical, jumping into buying your first home in your 20s is not a realistic objective. We need a supply of smaller, affordable properties to balance the housing supply. Now, I want to move on to another interesting story. On the programme on Monday, we covered the proposed massive hike in awards for injuries. This had come from the Judicial Council, 16.7%, and was expected that the government would nod this through and bring a resolution to the Dáil. Take a listen.
The Injuries Board has saved €76 million in legal costs last year alone because it provides the consumer with an easy, amicable and fast resolution system where there's been a personal injury, there's no argument as to liability. We just need to agree what's the appropriate level of compensation. And the beauty of the Injuries Board is it does that properly, independently, in a way that suits all parties and does it without incurring huge legal costs. So if those cases, and there's about 23,000 of them a year, if they all went the legal route, even at minimal cost, it's a huge drain out of the system. So the presence of the Injuries Resolution Board has proved really, really helpful over the last 20 years for that.
That was Conor Faulkner, who's a member of the Injuries Resolution Board himself. And he's making the point of trying to get your award through that board process with minimal legal costs or going for litigation. This is very interesting because you actually, Robert, have pursued the question of insurance costs. Do you welcome this U-turn by the government, and why did they not cop on a little earlier?
Sure, there's no U-turn by the government. No decision was taken by the government.
But they're not going ahead with it.
I know.
They were going ahead with
who
it.
Who said?
Well, it was in several newspapers at the weekend.
No.
That the Judicial Council had recommended this, and that the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, was bringing this to Cabinet.
No, that was reports. Minister O'Callaghan never once said publicly that this was going to be approved. In fact, what Minister O'Callaghan said, this was...
Well, why didn't he rubbish it first go?
Because we met as a Cabinet Subcommittee on Insurance Reform on Wednesday gone by, and that was the place in which he brought his recommendation to. And he brought his recommendation that he was going to lay this before the House.
Well, was he recommending it?
But he wasn't recommending that we had approved it. And the reason for that is because he felt, in line with cost of doing business and all the enhanced costs at the moment, it wasn't appropriate to do so. I'm charged with the responsibility of bringing forward an action plan on insurance reform. We're going to do that. We're going to publish that later this month. And that will show the commitment that the government has to continue to bring insurance costs down. You mentioned the Personal Injuries Resolution Board. That has been a phenomenal success in terms of dealing with compensation claims efficiently, effectively and independently. We need to see more claims going through the resolution board. They're dealt with typically in half the time that it takes going down through litigation. Going through litigation, the legal fees is 22 times the cost of going through the resolution board. And for much the same level of award. We need to see...
But put it like this. I have to... I have to I, Robert, you're trying it on here from this point of view. I got calls from a lot of the large insurers middle of last week saying, Ivan, this is a really big issue. We cannot afford the 16.7% increase. So everybody got mixed messages from the government that this was running. I mean, Gary, do you not take my point? If they wanted to kill this, they could have told the Judicial Council, we aren't interested in this, we're not going to do it. It ran halfway up the poll.
It ran halfway up the poll, and Tadhg Ciarán Callaghan actually brought her in and done on leaders' questions on Wednesday. And only finally then did the Taoiseach actually come out and acknowledge that this is not going to happen, welcomingly. But like, it could have been done easier. The fact that it got all the way to a cabinet subcommittee did create a little bit of instability, anxiety. And this has genuine implications, because premiums go up, cost of living concerns go up with them. So I just think the government, look, it's welcome it's not happening. It's welcome that it's going back to a cabinet subcommittee. You're going to bring back new reforms. Just let's be clear and transparent about what they actually are, and sooner. Because, I mean, it shouldn't take just the leader's question for the Taoiseach to make an announcement in his response, as if we
should have known. So only for Ciarán O'Callaghan this would have gone ahead.
I wonder why Ciarán didn't raise it months ago, so if it was such a worry for the Social Democrats. if you were going to be able to extrapolate an answer. The bottom line is, I've met Alliance for Insurance Reform. I've met all the CEOs of the large insurance companies. And I've always said them that no decision was being taken, that we're working on our action plan for insurance reform that we'd be publishing this summer, and that Minister Callaghan would bring forward proposals as part of that.
And you can tell me if I'm wrong, because I wasn't at the meeting, that Jim O'Callaghan, in withdrawing this, said, and by the way, don't think you're saving, because the judges are going to increase the awards anyway. And you know what I mean? He has a lot of friends in the law library. Jane, what do you think is the truth of this?
It's an interesting one, because it came with a big health warning from the Taoiseach in the Dáil on Wednesday. And he was saying, you know, there could be unintended consequences there. Like you just said, it could potentially hike legal costs in general. And then, you know, as well, if it goes through the courts, the timeline for getting claims finished, it goes up as well. So there was kind of a moment of glee, I think, from the Taoiseach on Wednesday. He kind of stunned Ciarán O'Callaghan to silence for a second, where the Taoiseach kind of said, you know, don't believe everything you read in the papers on this. And Ciarán O'Callaghan then had to go, oh, OK, well, we welcome this decision, but it did come with that big health warning from government and from the Minister for Justice as well, that, you know, this could have unintended consequences.
And it potentially could, and we have to keep vigilant to that. Like, I mean, there is a separation of power. The judiciary can have the choice in terms of what awards they have to issue. If they decide to issue higher awards, my fear is that people will then bypass the resolution board. A board that is working, that is delivering effective compensation for legitimate claimants, and that could be a worry. So,
I don't want to get all right on this, but this is your job then. Go off, do it, go back quickly. If this is a concern, I mean, you're the man with the responsibility. Let's get this solved quickly.
And you're the one who said the legal costs are what's really the problem here.
The legal costs are the problem. People that opt to go down the litigation route are spending 22 times more in legal fees than going through the resolution board. We need to ensure that people who have a legitimate claim go through the resolution board, have their claim dealt with efficiently and cost effectively.
Final quick topic. The Taoiseach, apropos nothing, said that we might restore up to 80 town councils. I was elected in 1979 to Enniscorthy Urban Council. They were all abolished during the time of the Troika. What are you hearing, Jane? Is this going to be something to provide a focal point for provincial towns?
Yeah, I think wait and see on this one. Like, it is in the programme for government that this is something that they want to do. They want to roll it out, I think, over time, is what they said, in the largest towns. We don't know what towns yet. We've had no clarity on that. And this was something he made the comments in an interview with The Examiner last week, I think, while he was in Japan. So it kind of came out of nowhere. We don't really have any more detail on it at this point in time. It's been welcomed by members of the opposition who said, you know, this is a great idea. It's something we want to see. We know it was all abolished during austerity, but it's come with a warning from the opposition as well, who've said, you know, if you're doing it, make sure they have the teeth and that they're equipped.
These district councils, like in Mullingar, where you are, you know, they don't have the same focal point or authority or development potential or platform as town councils did.
Well, look, at the end of the day, it is a commitment in the programme for government. The local democracy task force has been established. It met for the first time last week, and this is going to be central to that. I actually agree with what Jane has said there a moment ago. I think what really needs to happen in terms of the local government task force is to ensure greater accountability, greater efficiency. We have public servants on large money in responsible roles not taking timely decisions, not just for politicians, but for the general public who are sending in queries. It is frustrating at times in dealing with certain people in public service. Not everybody, I want to say, but with some. There is no mandate, at least with a planning decision, legally to have to deal with it in an 8-week period. If you go in for a housing query, a housing adaptation grant, there's no mandatory time frame on when it has to be dealt with. If you put in a social welfare claim and it is rejected, the applicant has 21 days to make an appeal. But social welfare has no time limit in terms of how long it can take them to consider a appeal. We need to become more effective in this area.
Is something you welcome or not?
Yeah, I really do welcome. I think we need to get as much authority going into the local area as possible. If we don't just have town council and then don't fund them well enough, make sure they actually have the capacity to do the job they're supposed to do. I mean, that goes from town council, but also across the whole local authorities. I think we need to start empowering their local authorities, letting them raise their own capacities for funds. And I think that'll make a huge difference in the type of issues that we're dealing with all too often, street cleaning and all of these other things. I think we need to make our local authorities, our town councils, more efficient, and that requires resourcing.
Okay, I'm going to give you the last word. That's Gary Gannon, spokesperson for Justice for the Social Democrats, representing Dublin Central. Before that, you heard Robert Troy, Minister of State at the Department of Finance and a Fianna Fáil TD for Longford West Meath, and Jane Matthews, political correspondent of the Journal. Thank you one and all for coming into the studio today and participating in our Friday forum. A reminder that all our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, so you can listen on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.